like Raphael, his sculptures. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, like, have you seen them? It's like marble, and then he like does it like it's like rippling water. And it's just, I don't know, like there was just a lot of craft and like carefulness to the classical, but and the early Christian art and like simplicity of it was just very, I mean, it's cute. I liked it. I really liked it. It's cute because it was just, I like the meaning of it is nice. Like, you don't need to know exactly what Jesus looked like super muscular and stuff. Like, it's just the element. Like, he was there, and he was a good guy, and, you know,
yeah, stuff like that. It's, like, more about the actions.
It's more about the actions. Yeah, that was the whole point. But, yeah, the Egyptians had this, like, moment where it was just, like, grandiose. Like, let's make a full golden statue, guys. We love this. I don't know. And then Akhenaten was like, I want a full marble statue, but make me look like a woman. And, yeah. And then that didn't stick. But you know what? Oh, there's this one relief I like. It's like just a tablet with a relief of Akhenaten and Nefertiti sitting across each other. And there's their kids, their three daughters, on their laps. And the daughters look insane because they used the canon for the daughters. So the daughters were really long looking, but they're just small. So they used like the 18 palms canon.
Mm-hmm. And then, like,
they were hella elongated.
Yeah, and then, like, their parents had, like, the new canon, which was, like, the feminine. Yeah,
and just looked
a
little funny.
Yeah. Wait, why don't the babies get the new canon?
I don't know. They didn't think about that. And then the... Oh, yeah, I forgot to say. And then there's just, like, in a lot of the reliefs and statues and everything, the Greek god and, like, symbol, the Aten, was always present. And it's just, like, a sun disk with the cobra. And the rays would, like, the sun rays would have the symbol, like, of life, the Ankh, at the tip. So it means, like, the sun gives life. And it's just, like, I think it's really nice that a lot of ancient civilizations had this whole thing around the sun and, like, mm-hmm. that the sun means life.
Yeah.
It's great. It's, like, they had, a connected mindset, even though they lived so, like, even, like, at a big distance and, you know... There's no internet. They couldn't just tell them, like, hey, dude, we're worshiping the sun today. Do you want to do that too? Like, no. And they just, I don't know. It's just like traveling did this, or it's just human nature. Like, they figured this out on their own.
You know, I was learning about that, like, in my religious studies class about, like, in Japan, they were doing that too, in, like, Shintoism. Mm-hmm. There's this, like,
yeah, they were.
Yeah, there's, like, lady that was god of the sun, and, like, she was so cool. Like, there's this one scene where she's, like, protecting, like, some form of heaven and, like, some dude's trying to get there. Mm-hmm. And then she's, like, showing her strength. And there's this line that's, like, she kicked dirt like it was the rotten snow.
Whoa.
Right? She was just, like, super...
Wait, rotten snow?
Yeah.
What's that?
Or it's just, like it just, like, crumbled away.
Okay.
Like, because she was so powerful.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so cool. But, yeah, I love how, like, yeah, the sun is... Like, and even now, like, you know, I feel like we feel that feeling towards the sun. Just, like, it's innate, because it's just, like, part of being human is that we need the sun to, like, be happy and function.
Vancouver rides come out when the sun comes out.
Yeah, I was writing about that the other day. I was like, the Vancouver rides right now, like, it reminds me of, like, frogs coming out in the rain, you know?
I said worms coming out in the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. Like, we're super connected to the sun. I think it's great. And the moon. But you know what's weird is that in the ancient civilizations, the sun was always connected to be a more feminine. Like, it was usually a goddess of the sun, but then the Greeks had the god of the sun.
And yeah, Apollo.
I think it stuck. Apollo, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think right now it's just, like, a big association that the moon is feminine, like Artemis, and the sun is a male star.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Why do we gender stars?
I know, right? It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting.
Even zodiac signs. Yeah, like, there's zodiac signs that are more connected to the sun, and that's, like, the male thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm yapping about. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
I think you're right, because there's, like, I think the Libra is, like very woman, like, the scales of justice.
Yeah.
Wait, speaking of scales of justice... What happens when people die? How do they weigh their heart and know if they're going to have a happy life
in,
like, ancient Egypt?
Okay, so... When the person dies, like, their organs are stored into canopic jars, right? And then the heart would be stored in a separate jar. And that jar is for Anubis. So when Anubis guides the soul, like the Ka, through the river and to the afterlife, then they come up to the scales of justice. And like the golden scales, and they would measure the heart of the deceased with the feather of the goddess Mat, and Mat is the goddess of justice and truth. And so if the heart is way too light or way too heavy, the person, like the art, sorry, the heart gets ate by the god Amet, and that just means like doom. Like there's nothing. There's no ticket to the afterlife. It's just a void. There's nothing. You know, like you lived your whole life for nothing. Mm-hmm. And then if it's on like perfect, like on par with the feather, the person gets to go to the kingdom of Osiris, and that's like the afterlife. Yeah. And so it's still a monarchy because Osiris rules the emperors that ruled Egypt, and those emperors rule over the peasants and common people. So literally the only thing good about the afterlife is that, like you said, they don't need to work their whole life to have a light or a heavy heart, and they could just do whatever they want.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about judgment.
Like imagine like looking, like they lived their whole life looking towards death and working to have a good heart, the weight of a feather of justice, but like they look forward to that just to be trapped in another, you know.
Yeah, they're still trapped in a hierarchy.
Like what?
Yeah, I'd be really sad.
That'd be really sad, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that means they don't have to work, but like still, like getting ruled by someone is insane.
Yeah.
In your own afterlife in peace.
What does that even mean to be ruled by someone in the afterlife?
Though? I have no idea.
I feel like you can still just do whatever you want. And, like, you know, is there jail in the afterlife?
I don't know. They never talked about it. Yeah. They just said, like, it's a paradise, bro, with, like, palm trees and, like, everything that you, like, lived in, but better.
Yeah. I feel like they just, like, add the hierarchy point so that they don't think, like, oh, wait, if there's no hierarchy in the afterlife, then why was there one in the present? And then, like, it would bring, like, less trust, I guess.
Whoa. You're so smart. Maybe.
All we can do is speculate.
Yeah, I'm Albert, and you're Einstein.
Aww. That's really cute.
Yeah. You're Nikola, and I'm Tesla.
Okay. Wait, let's listen to a tune, and then we need to prepare for our gnome news.
Gnome news.
And then we'll talk more about something.
Okay.
I think this is like a cool little instrumental song by Bitch Was Here, and it's called Someday It'll Work Out, ! And I thought it was really awesome, so here you go. 2000 on Gnome City. I love that song so much. I like the other day I was on the bus and I didn't even like have the lyrics, but I was just thinking about every line for line and just how like ridiculous it is. I think it's like a perfect balance of like really specific but also like really relatable. And, you know, yeah. I feel like I've met this dude and I've met Deborah.
I did not meet Deborah.
she's too popular.
Wait, I did meet Deborah.
What do you mean?
I know Deborah.
Deborah.
I know Deborah. She's pregnant right now.
And what are you talking about?
I know Deborah.
Okay. What do you think about Disco 2000?
Disco 2000 is a great song. It's really sad that he's a loser and, you know.
Yeah.
The whole album's really sad. He's just heartbroken without Deborah.
Yeah. For real. I feel like Deborah doesn't deserve him, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I feel like he's too good. Like, she doesn't even care.
I don't think he's too good, bro. He's just a random guy. I'm not gonna lie. He's just ginger with glasses. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, but he walked her home. He wants to see her baby. Like, he's dedicated.
Yeah, he likes her, yeah. But he's just like, dude, it's like the man from Pulp. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah. He needs to
maybe,
move on.
Maybe Deborah found someone better. Maybe maybe she found one that walks her home all the time and not once.
Yeah, and walking home not for any ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. Just to walk her home.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay, but now real quick we gotta get into some Gnome City before we end. This is genius. Okay, don't even worry about it. This week in Gnome City, at the age of 218, Gnombella wrote her first ever poem. Growing up, she had been part of the counterculture movement of Gnomes Against Rhymes, but recently, in an astral projection, she traveled to 1950s New York and found herself inspired by the wild freedom of the beat poets. So she flung herself back into her body and carved some words into the dirt with a stick. Since Gnombella had not written a poem before, all of her gnome magic inside of her had built up and rushed into these words. Then a shimmering rainbow light undulated from the words and turned Gnome City into summer 2 months early. Currently, Gnomanity is in a non-stop celebration of their extended summer. But some risk-taking gnomes have gone to read the poetry and been transformed into various woodland creatures, pieces of light, and drops of water. And today, we have an exclusive interview with a drop of water to tell us what it's like.
What's up, guys? I'm the drop of water.
How does it feel to be a drop of water?
Super, super light. Whoa. Sorry, guys, I'm sweating a little bit.
Is that the water?
That's just my sweat. That's my aura.
It's so, okay.
The poem was so magical and so connected to the earth that I, like... Dude, I felt so down to earth. I felt one with Mother Nature, and unfortunately, I turned into a celestial drop of purest water ever. I mean, I like having a very neutral pH balance, but I kind of miss being a gnome because I can't garden anymore and I can't, you know, like talk to ants and stuff. And I feel really sad. I feel like I'm not a gnome anymore. Like, this is not even a part of me anymore. I'm just a drop of water, and I fear the summer. I feel like I'm gonna evaporate in the summer. I'm really scared of the summer. I think I need to be. I want to be. You know what I want to do? I want to be stored in a refrigerator.
Okay.
I want to freeze for a little bit, see what it's like. It might be damaging to my pH and chemical balance, but I might become a changed droplet.
Mm-hmm. Well, then. Thank you so much for, I really appreciated that exclusive interview.
You're
and
welcome.
Hopefully you're not here anymore.
Oh, I'm not here. Oh, okay.
So hopefully someone can take this drop of water and put it in the fridge so that she doesn't evaporate.
In the freezer.
And yeah, and Gnombella, please write another poem that can bring her back into gnome form. Thank you. And that was the gnome news.
Wait, where did the drop of water go?
What do you mean? Like, they were just done the interview.
I walked out to the washroom and the drop of water was here.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I just missed it.
Oh my god. So it's still a drop of water? No. Oh my gosh. Someone find it. It's at SFU. It's escaped Gnome City.
Dude, what are we talking about right now?
The drop of water. Wait, I need to play a PSA, just real, real quick.
Okay, PSA. PSA time.
Let's listen. I've been really enjoying these Heritage Minutes. And so if you haven't heard them, I think it's really fascinating. But this is some CJSF history.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers established the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Okay, yes. And now we're back. I just want to make sure we got some good PSAs for you guys. But yeah, I wanted to teach Lisa a bit about... Well, actually, I don't know much about beat poetry itself. That's what the type of poetry that inspired Gnombella in our previous news segment, Gnome City. But I feel like it's really cool. It's a type of poetry that originated in, like, the 50s. So it was, like, after World War II. And I really... And it's, like... Very not conventional and just kind of like first thought, best thought, just like write. And it's like there's not really any rhyming scheme or anything, and it's like very intuitive. And I thought that was really interesting that started in the 50s, because there's also a lot of that's like when the postmodern movement started, which was in the 50s, where so pretty much after the war, everyone was like, wait, rational thought is actually like it leads us to awful war, if because like people like Hitler was able to rationalize that like Jewish people were bad. And so like from that they're like, wait, you know, like the thought, like everything's absurd and stupid. Mm-hmm. And so it led to like a lot of like depression, but it was like they didn't really know it was that. So it's like people made this really like just absurd art because they were just they just thought that like everything was meaningless pretty much. Like if something so atrocious was possible, then like what is life? And so I think it was like a really like if you want to get into the postmodern stuff, I think the coolest thing is this play called Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett. And it's this play where it's like these two guys are literally just like sitting around like in the same spot, just like waiting for this guy Godot to show up. And like, spoiler alert, but like everyone knows this before reading it, but like Godot never shows up. And so it's just kind of this like, it's like this guy Samuel Beckett, he was like really experimenting with like what he could put an audience through. He like made people really mad sometimes. There's like one play that he had where it was like just a mouth the whole time and you couldn't see any other part of the body. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just thought that was really interesting, just like this time where people just like kind of gave up on rationality and became absurd.
Yeah, is beat poetry like, does it have like a substance? Is it like syllable based or no rhyme scheme?
Beat poetry, I've gotten like a little bit into it, and I feel like it's more, it's almost like prose, like a, just like a normal way of writing, but it has like line breaks, and sometimes like the line breaks are cool and they'll be like make an interesting shape, or like it's like something will be on a different side.
Oh, yeah, I know. Allen Ginsberg did some of that.
Yeah.
I liked his stuff. I used to read it in like grade 11.
Oh my gosh, you remember anything cool?
No. He had like crazy stories though, because he wrote so much from the 1940s to the 1970s.
Yeah.
I think early 80s actually. I don't remember much. I think he wrote till he died, bro. He wrote so much, and he had like such crazy stories about his life and people. Like, he was a strange man, so you know.
Yeah.
He just had crazy stuff to say.
Yeah, that's the beauty.
It is beauty, yeah.
What's something that you think you're going to be doing until you die?
Speaking. I'm a yapper.
Yes. Good.
Yeah, what about you, Katie? What's for life for you?
I think, like, dancing.
Dancing? Oh, yeah. I think dancing is for life for me, too. Yeah. Just do a jig for no reason.
Yeah. You know, I feel like, yeah, like, lately, like, I actually don't even realize this, but I think I dance, like, every day. Like, even if I'm not intentionally, like, putting on music to dance, like, really? I'm just dancing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I did that yesterday. As soon as I finished my makeup, I was listening to my music. Mm-hmm. And then I did a little, did a few jumps, a few spins, yes. You know, it was just like that.
Yeah. It was fun. Jumping.
Some leg work.
Ah. Yeah. No, I'm always like, I don't need to work out. I just dance every day. No,
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Like, while I talk to my dad, I have, like, this routine where it's, like, I'm talking to my dad late at night, and he's on the couch, and I'm just, like, I have the zoomies.
Stop, me too. I also have zoomies.
And so he's on the couch, and I'm just, like, in the living room, like,
I'm in the
dancing
living room
around.
Zoomies, yeah. I'm, like, after 9 p.m. You know, you didn't speak to your parents all day, and then you come out, and then you're like, what's up? And then you just start jumping and saying random stuff. Oh, my God.
Exactly. And, like, doing funny accents.
We should study that.
Yeah. Why do the zoomies happen?
Do other people have this?
I think other people do.
Do you think guys have this? Do you guys have zoomies?
I feel like guys are zooming all day long.
Oh. What? Well, maybe.
Wait. Because, like, think of, like, our gnome resident, Jonas. I feel like he's always got the zoomies.
No, Jonas got zoomies all the time, but I'm...
Yeah. Maybe that's just Jonas.
That's just Jonas. It's just him.
No, but, like, I think a lot of my guy friends are just always zooming. I feel like they taught me how to zoom.
Maybe.
But maybe it's, like, because I feel like girls, like, they have, like, the specific time where it's, like, they're in their house and they're not, like, you're not feeling observed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is, like, a bit of a difference there.
Yeah, I got crazy zoomies.
Yeah.
like my dog.
Yeah, exactly.
My dog is the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. We're literally like, yeah, we are that.
Are we listening to any music? Are we gonna?
Yeah, we're gonna. Oh my! I guess I should like intro the next show. But yeah, we're gonna listen to a song called "Set Me Free" by Lost Decade. It's super fun, happy, exciting, and it's also like there's like some good vibe messages towards the end where like some ladies just talking about like her light, and I wasn't expecting that, but I thought it was pretty fun.
What light?
Like her light within.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah, sun goddess.
Whoa.
And then, so after you listen to that, then it'll be Connor on Department Uno playing you all the cool music from our CJSF library and just giving you some very cool information. He's very knowledgeable. You'll always learn a lot when listening to Connor. But yeah, we gotta go now, so thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
giving it to me. I don't know how you have done it. You take this paper, set it free. What it is about you. When I think of you, I see swirls of infinity. I see explosions of forever. I've never known something so beautifully terrifying. When we're together, the air in my lungs.